pipeline is underway. In Juneau, this is John Greeley for the Associated Press.
The governor's advisory board on drug abuse meets in Fairbanks at the Travelers Inn for 3 days starting tomorrow. Saturday meetings of the board will be held at the Gold Nugget Inn across the street from the Travelers because of other programs at the Travelers. Items before the board include a discussion at 10:45 tomorrow morning of marijuana. At 3:15 tomorrow afternoon, the advisory board will hear a proposal for a methadone maintenance program for Fairbanks. Methadone is a drug used in treating heroin addicts. On Saturday, the board will move to the Gold Nugget. At 9 o'clock that morning, the board will review school policies and possibly hear from a representative of the Fairbanks North Starborough School District. Early in the afternoon on Saturday, the board expects to hear from representatives of the Langdon Psychiatric Clinic from Anchorage. The clinic has been denied state approval of its methadone maintenance program. Clinic officials are seeking an injunction against the ruling handed down by State Commissioner of Health and Social Services, Dr. Frederick McGinnis. The clinic filed an injunction suit against the commissioner today in an effort to block his attempt to remove the methadone maintenance program from the clinic. Earlier, McGinnis had denied the clinic's application for a license to continue administering the program and proposed to turn the program over to the Anchorage Borough Health Department on December 1st. The suit filed today alleges McGinnis acted in an arbitrary and capricious manner and not in the best interests of the state when he denied approval of the program on October 25th. The suit also says that by canceling the clinic's contract and denying application for a license, McGinnis denied the clinic's fundamental rights to a hearing before an impartial tribunal. The lawsuit alleges the state has never formulated standards for operation of a methadone maintenance program, and McGinnis has never consulted the Drug Advisory Board about the Langdon case. Public Assignment received a request to find out how much money was spent by borough and city officials on a trip to Washington, D.C. last month to talk with the head of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, Dr. James Fletcher. The purpose of the meeting was to discuss a multi-million dollar Earth Resources project proposed to NASA by Senator Mike Gravel. On Tuesday, the first half of the public assignment explained the program and the technology of remote sensing. Tonight, Broadcast Center News reporter Pat McGuire takes a look at the status of the proposal now and some of the obstacles it faces.
An aide to Senator Mike Gravel said earlier this week that Gravel's office is viewing NASA's possible approval of the program with some pessimism. He indicated that NASA might be less inclined to approve a program for Fairbanks in light of the fact that the U.S. Armed Services Committee has decided to retain control of the north side of Fort Wainwright, the area proposed for the NASA Center. The aide is not the first to express pessimism about the program. Others have felt that NASA might not approve the program, but for different reasons. Two of the problems facing the establishment of a NASA Center are finding the funds to support construction and operation of the center and finding room in NASA's charter to allow for such a center. Senator Gravel and his office have maintained for some time that NASA has impounded funds available for such a center. Supposedly, the funds are the same which were once allocated for a NASA program in New Mexico, which did not go through. Gravel's office has estimated the amount of funds to run anywhere from $18 to $26 million. However, NASA officials and persons involved with NASA research at the University of Alaska have reported that there are no impounded funds anywhere close to that amount for NASA. In fact, the report from these sources indicates that NASA at this time is operating under a tight budget with little or no excess of funds. The second problem facing Gravel's proposal is that NASA is chartered as an agency working in experimental endeavors only. And while NASA designs and operates the technology, it is not to become involved in service-oriented operations. Senator Gravel maintains that the Center for Fairbanks would be experimental and can be accommodated within the limits of NASA's charter. But moreover, Gravel maintains that charter considerations and the funding problem are secondary. He has stated that the first thing that needs to happen is that NASA must approve the program. Then funding and charter problems can be worked out. Last month, representatives from Fairbanks went to Washington, D.C. to discuss the program with NASA's head, Dr. James Fletcher. Among the officials that went were Borough Mayor John Carlson, Borough Assemblyman Tom Cormettis, City Councilman Ken Carson and Bob Parsons, Chamber of Commerce Manager Wally Baer, and John Miller and Alan Ballone of the University of Alaska. From the reports of persons attending the meeting, there apparently was confusion from the outset. Reports from John Carlson and Bob Parsons indicates that in working with Lockheed Corporation representatives in drawing up the proposal and through talking with Gravel's office, local officials had received the impression that Dr. Fletcher would give a yes or no answer to the proposal at the Washington meeting. As it turned out, Fletcher was unprepared to give any commitment at the meeting, and from reports, it appeared that he was not familiar with the program. In fact, it was reported by those attending the meeting that Fletcher had received the final draft of the proposal only a few hours before the meeting began. However, Gravel's office reports that Fletcher had been briefed on the proposal weeks earlier. Despite the fact that no commitment was received from NASA, most persons attending the meeting say that it was beneficial, in that it exposed the needs and priorities of Alaska and gave information about the work of the university directly to NASA's administration. Most of those attending felt the meeting had a positive effect on Dr. Fletcher and that the meeting was a necessary step in working to get the center. According to Gravel's office, NASA is to return an evaluation of the project within a month. To answer the question of the public assignment, cost for the borough for Carlson and Carmetis came to $1,510, including transportation and expenses, and for the city costs for Ken Carson, Bob Parsons, and Dr. William Wood, they came to $1,600 for transportation and $225 in expenses. While the meeting was felt to be productive by most of those attending, it appears the obstacles to the proposal may be major ones. And with even Gravel's office expressing pessimism, it appears at this point that the proposal might go the way of the New Mexico program. However, when Gravel was in Fairbanks last week, he expressed confidence that if NASA could approve the proposal, then the money and organization to affect the program could be found, indicating that it was up to NASA at this point and adding that he expected a reply from them in 3 weeks. Pat McGuire, Broadcast Center News.
Alaska Congressman Don Young said today that with conference committee work completed on the pipeline authorization bill, it may be signed into law next week. Young has details from Washington, D.C.
Final approval of the Alaskan pipeline by Congress should come next week. Late last night, Congressman Melcher filed a pipeline conference report in the House, clearing the way for a final vote, which should come next Wednesday. After the House votes to accept the bill, it will be sent to the Senate. If the Senate approves a revised bill that includes the best provisions of the House and the Senate pipeline bills, as I am certain the House will, it will be signed into law by President next week. All 14 congressmen and senators on the conference committee signed the report. Not having any dissenting views among the conferees makes it clear to all other congressmen and senators who will have to approve our actions and final votes in both chambers. Republicans and Democrats alike will approve the bill, and it will assure its final passage. Alaskans have been waiting for the pipeline for 4 years now. In another week, I think the final legislative obstacle can be cleared and the pipeline will be on its way.
Senator Ted Stevens said today he's been assured of a private meeting with President Nixon if the Trans-Alaska Pipeline Bill comes into real danger of veto. The Alaska Republican said he's been told by top White House advisors, "I will be able to have a private meeting with the president if the bill gets into real trouble." Stevens said that although he believes the president will sign the bill, despite the recommendations of the Office of Management and Budget and the Justice Department, the assurance is comforting. Both the Office of Management and Budget and the Justice Department have recommended veto of the pipeline bill, primarily due to a rider expanding the powers of the Federal Trade Commission. The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly meets at 8 o'clock tonight in a work session to discuss service areas and advertising of legal notices for the borough. A borough spokesman said discussion of service areas would center around possible new rules governing their formation. The discussion of borough advertising policy came up several weeks ago and centers around the amount of lead time the borough should have in posting legal notices for meetings. Tonight's work session will be held in the upper conference room of the borough offices on 2nd Avenue. The Fairbanks North Star Borough School Board meets tonight in the school district central offices, first for a closed meeting with the Fairbanks Education Association, and then for a work session on the revised 1973-74 budget. The closed meeting with the FEA was requested by the association's president, H.O. Red Williams, and the FEA Executive Council. What the FEA wants to discuss has, in Williams' words, been left purposefully vague. He said the meeting was requested to discuss school-community relations. That meeting was scheduled for 7 o'clock tonight. It'll be followed at about 7:30 with a work session to discuss reallocation of surplus funds in the school district's budget. Much of the work of the special session of the Alaska Legislature is currently being done in committees. Associated Press correspondent Steve Weiner filed this report.
What may be a version of an Alaska Pipeline Commission bill acceptable to much of the legislature has been pounded together by the Senate Finance Committee. A substitute regulatory measure was adopted by the committee Thursday, including amendments proposed by the administration and deletions from earlier proposals that have the effect of retaining law approved in 1972. Under the bill, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline would be granted a state certificate of public convenience and necessity. But in an effort to prepare for future interstate pipelines, an amendment drafted by Attorney General John Havelock was added. That amendment says that interstate pipelines must obtain a certificate for their intrastate operations. Following the meeting, Havelock said that as far as the administration is concerned, the new bill is acceptable.
Way too much has been made out of the what the changes were being proposed by the governor in the first place. It was never the intent of the governor to give away any regulatory authorities the state legitimately have, but simply to define it a little more clearly as applied to the pipeline situation so that we could get rid of this immediate lawsuit. There are at least 9 different ways to skin that cat, and the fact that this legislative committee has chosen this way is satisfactory to the administration.
Other significant steps also were made in committee work Thursday. The Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee has been bogged down over the ad valorem tax on oil property, but a new bill has been proposed for final committee action Friday. That measure would tax oil transportation facilities at 30 mils, while other industry hardware would be taxable by local government. That measure includes a $2,000 per capita limit on all local government property taxation. Progress also was made on 2 right-of-way leasing bills. The House Judiciary and Senate Resources Committees have produced almost identical measures that satisfy many industry objections and still retain most of 1972 law. House Judiciary Chairman Clem Killian talked about his committee's bill.
Well, there's a lot of small changes. I feel the governor's bill went into, gave a lot more than really the governor himself realized it was giving. I don't say that some of the members of his negotiating committee might not have known what they were giving away, but they were rather generous. And the Judiciary Committee has been rather stingy.
There's still much to be done on most of the legislation, but legislative leaders say the special session is drawing significantly closer to completion of its work. This is Steve Weiner reporting for the Associated Press in Juneau.
And that's news of Fairbanks and Alaska. Ted Lane, Broadcast Center News, reporting.
This is KFRB Radio in Fairbanks, Alaska. The World Tonight continues with the latest business news in a moment.
This year like last year, just is right here on CBS.
And this year, the best means rollout.
What's the trouble here, Williams?
Radiator, sir. Looks like I got a cracked block.
But that's a brand new engine.
Well, it's got a brand new crack.
Rollout, an outrageously funny wartime comedy. It's another new half-hour series from the team who gave you MASH.
Premiering November 2nd on TV 11.
Now from Foster and Marshall, here's news of the business world of interest to Alaskans.
Good afternoon. Stocks fell sharply for the third straight session today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average retreated 7.75 points to close at the 948.83 level. It fell a total of 28.22 points in the 2 previous sessions. The transportation index declined 1.47, and the utilities were off 0.42. More than twice as many issues declined today than the number advancing. Trading was moderately active. Volume totaled 16,920,000 shares, compared with 17,890,000 shares yesterday. The average share of stock on the big board was off 34 cents. Stocks were narrowly mixed through early trading, but began to fall sharply after news that Israel said the trapped Egyptian Third Army tried unsuccessfully to break out. Brokers said the report accentuated the uncertainty of the Mideast ceasefire. In the economic news, factory orders fell sharply in September after having gained in August. Among the most active stocks traded today, British Petroleum was 15 and one quarter unchanged, Deere Company 57 and one eighth, off 1 3/4, Natoma 63 and 3/4, up 1 1/8, American Motors 9 3/8, off 1/4. Now for some closing stock prices. Alaska Interstate 34, up 1 5/8, Alaska Airlines 6.5 unchanged, Atlantic Richfield 110 and an eighth, up 5 3/8, Boeing was 20 1/4, up 1 1/8, Bannister 25 and 1/8, up 1/4, British Petroleum 15 1/4 unchanged, Canada Southern Petroleum 6.5, up 1/4, Earth Resources 8 unchanged, Ford 50 3/4, off 1 5/8, General American Oil 42 3/4, off 3/8, General Motors 62, off 3/8, Home Oil A was 57.5, up 1 3/8, IBM 281 1/4, up 1, Occidental Petroleum 10 3/8, off 1/4. Phillips was 67¾, up 1¾. Head American, 6¼, off an eighth. Purex was 13, unchanged. RCA, 24, off a half. Standard of Cal was 70⅝, up 1⅜. Tesoro was 38, up 1/2. Western DeKalta, 8⅙, up 1/4. Exxon, 95, up 1/2. Executive Industries, 3⅛, at 3½, off 1/8. Wayne was 7¾, at 8⅛, up 1/8. Aloha, 3½, at 3¾, unchanged. Rowan Companies, 35⅝, off 3/8. And Alaska International Air was 7 at 7½, subject. This concludes our stock market reports for today. Please tune in tomorrow morning for our early report at 7:20. And now back to KFRB.
Ready to move in on that wild and woolly winter scene with the greatest thoroughbred snowmobiles ever to hit the wide open trail? Then now's the time to head on down to Persinger's Marine, quarter mile Richardson Road, and round up one of the mighty 74 Mercs, the Trail Boss, during Persinger Marine's super spectacular Trail Boss Days. Here's your chance to ride herd on the swingin'est selection in the Fairbanks area of these amazing Merc machines, with such outstanding features as Thunderbolt ignition for dead of winter quick, sure starts, soft and plush sandwich seats, and Mercury's incomparable one-year warranty, the absolute best in the business. So if you're thinking of snowmobiles, think of Persinger's Marine, quarter mile Richardson Road, and corral yourself a 74 Merc, the two-fisted, ramrodding king of the trail, during their one and only Trail Boss Days.
Persinger's Marine also carries snow machine suits and clothing.
The world tonight turns to the latest in the sports world. It's Pat Summerall with Worldwide Sports.
Alaska
paint.
Well, he came here in 1918, and he went to Fox Island, which is Resurrection Bay.
Down around Seward.
Right. And he came with his son, a young son. He was about, he was in his mid, how old? Mid-30s, and he came with his 9-year-old son to be alone, to experience Alaska and experience the landscape. And he found a oneness here with himself and with Alaska. And I think it's reflected in the paintings.
The paintings he made in Alaska down at Resurrection Bay became his first showing?
It was his first show in New York, and it was a show that really was to make his reputation and to make him famous. He wrote an introduction to show, and I have it here.
Read a piece.
He said, "The northern wilderness is terrible. There is discomfort, even misery, in being cold. The gloom of the long and lonely winter nights is appalling. And yet, you know, I love this misery and court it."
I was going to ask you.
He loved it. He really loved the cold.
Tomorrow morning.
And he lived in the Adirondacks, which is very cold.
I have.
That was his home upstate.
Right, he flourished in the cold, he said.
You have one of Rockwell Kent's paintings here, an Eskimo scene. Let's see it.
Let's see. Can you get it up here?
Tomorrow morning.
Describe him as a painter.
Well, Rockwell Kent was a realist.
No, I wasn't.
He was, very, very...
Can we leave here around
7? In the early 20s. And his work is in just about every museum in the United States.
You sure?
Now, you came up with your painting to visit us?
Yes, I did. There's an ad hoc committee being formed to acquire a four local
paints. Wake up and everything.
And rather than pack them up and put them in a crate, I decided I'd bring myself along because it only cost $100 a month. So here I am.
And Mr. Larcotta, your gallery in New York City represents Kent?
Right, I represented Kent for the last 5 years of his life.
And he died 2 years ago?
He died 2 years ago, at the age of, 87.
What kind of man was he?
Well, he was great. He was a giant. He was only 5'9", but you always thought he was about 6'4". And
vitality, even as an octogenarian?
Even then. He drank 4 or 5 martinis, and we drink them on the table.
That's vitality.
That was New York art dealer Dick Larcotta, and incidentally, Rockwell Kent also wrote a book based on his Alaska adventures. It's titled Wilderness. Ask the average guy what's spooky about a bank, and you might say the loan department, or that vice president who makes the decision whether to pay my check when I'm overdrawn. But it was more than that today. In the spirit of Halloween, the staff of the Alaska National Bank dressed for the occasion. The cameraman Gary Russell was there to capture the antics. And for that matter, by the way, he also captured Larry Holmstrom depositing his end-of-the-month check
so that that vice president won't have to make a decision about the checks that Holmstrom wrote yesterday. Banking is a competitive business, we hastily add, and while they were in the Halloween spirit over at the Alaska State Bank as well as the Alaska National Bank. There may have been others, but our cameraman felt two institutions were representative enough of the banking fraternity.
Dennis, what are you...
They're all going to the Dairy Queen, Dad. Want to drive?
Dennis and the whole gang are raring to go for one of those great big beauties, the DQ Banana Split. A fresh sliced banana with huge tempting mounds of America's all-time favorite treat and topped with strawberry, pineapple, chocolate, and whipped cream. Pure pleasure.
Let's all go to the Dairy Queen, the DQ Dairy Queen.
Yes, sir, that's what I do. I'm a fuel oil truck driver for Kobuck Oil Company here in Fairbanks. We handle all the Tesoro products around here. I begin the day real early at Kobuck's bulk storage plant out on Pager. After filling the truck with my first load and getting delivery orders from the dispatcher, I'm generally on the road long before other people are even up. Sometimes my first delivery is commercial, like equipment that needs refueling before the work crews show up. And other times, it's a heating oil customer that's running low and don't want to be kept waiting. So we get to them as soon as possible. Oh, it's hard work, and sometimes it's colder than goose pimples. But I like it. I like our company, the people we serve, and the fact that we provide an Alaskan product to our customers. Kobuck Tesoro. Alaskans serving Alaskans.
Sports news in the National Basketball Association, the Detroit Pistons netted their fifth victory in six starts by whipping the Seattle Supersonics 114-107. The loss was the fifth in a row for Seattle. Dave Bing had 28 points for Detroit. The Boston Celtics routed the Cleveland Cavaliers 128-110. Austin Carr of the Losers was high scorer with 26 points. Willis Reed and Dave Debuchere scored 41 points between them in leading the New York Knickerbockers to a 102-91 victory over the Houston Rockets. In the American Basketball Association, the Kentucky Colonels set five team records in ripping the San Diego Conquistadors 146-105. Among the records were 83 rebounds, 46 assists, and only 7 turnovers. James Silas scored 6 points in the overtime session, including the winning field goal, as the San Antonio Spurs clipped the Carolina Cougars 101-99. In Denver, the Rockets topped the New York Nets 107-104. Julius Erving of the Losers had 38 points. In the National Hockey League, Rick Martin scored all 3 goals for the Buffalo Sabres in downing the California Golden Seals 3-2. The Boston Bruins downed the Minnesota North Stars 5-0. Minnesota has yet to win a game this season. They've lost 5 and tied in 1 in 6 contests. Phil Esposito scored one of the Boston goals, giving him a mark of scoring in every game played this season. The Pittsburgh Penguins earned a 1-1 deadlock with the Montreal Canadiens on Lowell McDonald's goal. Pete Mihaljevic scored for Montreal. The rookie will be the star attraction tomorrow in the opening round of the $125,000 San Antonio, Texas Open Golf event. The rookie is Ben Crenshaw, a 3-time collegiate champion. Crenshaw is one of the few outstanding figures listed in the tournament. Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Lee Trevino, Gary Player, and Billy Casper are among the missing. The weather forecast, decreasing cloudiness tonight, mostly fair Thursday and Thursday night. The low tonight, 0 to 5 above, the high Thursday near 20, the low Thursday night near 5 below. The outlook for Friday, partly cloudy, at news time, 20 degrees. The customers at a bar in Bologna, Italy, would not have been disturbed by the appearance of a pink elephant, but the sudden appearance of a leopard sent them scattering in all directions and evoked all sorts of, "I'll never drink another drop" pledges. It developed, however, that they were not suffering any kind of hallucinations. It was really a leopard. Escaped from a circus, it was corralled, and I guess all pledges are off. That's our Scope News for this evening. Our producer, director, Bob Hartman, engineer, Mike McFadden. I'm Ted Lane, Broadcast Center News, inviting you to stay tuned for the Alaska Legislative Report, a 5-minute commentary on today's activities in Juneau. And following that, our CBS Late movie is Sol Madrid, an exciting adventure starring David McCollum in color. That's the schedule. Have a pleasant evening with KGBF.
Are you suffering from closet phobia? You know, closets that are just about empty because you haven't gotten around to doing all your laundry? Or worse, closets that are full of clothes that aren't good enough to wear but too good to give away? Well, a Busy Bee Laundromat can help you out of this dilemma. They can make doing your laundry a breeze. When you go to Busy Bee, you never have to wait around, waiting for machines. There are rows and rows of washers, and plenty of dryers to go around, too. Bring the clothes you're not satisfied with. Run them through Busy Bee Laundry. Have them dry clean, and they'll come out looking bright and crisp. Clothes you'd be proud to wear. Cure closet phobia with a little help from the Busy Bee Laundromat on 3rd Street and Grail, across from the Market Basket. This has been Scope News, a late evening wrap-up of the latest news brought to you in full color Monday through Saturday by Alaskan Floral and Wedding Shop, Kobuk Oil, The Dairy Queen, Busy Bee Laundromat, Big Ray's, The Arctic Pancake House, and Kapo's. This program was produced by the Broadcast Center News team. This is KTVF Channel 11 in Fairbanks, your CBS News affiliate for Interior Alaska, where what you want to know comes first. This is the Alaska Legislative Report, a series of reports presented each weeknight on the activities of the special session of the Alaska State Legislature. This series is being made possible for the duration of the special session by the following civic-minded Fairbanks businesses: the J.C. Penney Company, the Book Bin, Tanana Air Taxi, the Fox Roadhouse, Counter Media Magazine, and the Alaska Music Company. And now, tonight's commentary by Alaska's most knowledgeable legislative reporter, the editor of Counter Media Magazine, Joe LaRocca.
Starting tomorrow or Friday, the most crucial phase of this special session of the legislature begins when its two presiding officers, Senate President Terry Miller of Fairbanks and House Speaker Tom Fink of Anchorage, both Republicans, put into play the single leadership function that makes them the two most powerful figures in the legislature. Several of the eight bills, identical versions of which Governor William Egan introduced simultaneously in both the Senate and the House, have already crept laboriously through their committees of referral in both chambers, where they underwent a number of changes and were advanced to the floor for final action. The others will soon follow. Their passage in each chamber in differing forms will trigger the unique process that brings them into an arena known in parliamentary circles as the pre-conference committee. The House and Senate versions of each bill, which may vary little or widely in content, will collide there, and three conferees appointed from each chamber will attempt to reconcile the differences, agree on a final compromise version, and report the results back to their respective chambers for final acceptance or rejection. The power of the three conference committees to alter any and all provisions of bills within their grasp is virtually absolute. And when the conferees bring their final compromise version back to the respective chamber, it may only be accepted or rejected. No other action, including further amendment, is possible on the floor. If either of the two chambers refuses to accept the free conference committee version of a bill, the committee is discharged and another one appointed. With one exception, free conference committee members have full and free rein over the fate of any bill they consider, and can literally transform any portion of it by adding, altering, or subtracting material. Thus, six members of the legislature can either uphold, compromise, or wholly subvert the collective will of their other 54 colleagues on a given bill. The power to appoint the members of pre-conference committees resides exclusively and unilaterally in the presiding officers of each chamber, and, needless to say, they can and do effectively influence the outcome of a pre-conference committee's deliberations by virtue of their appointed powers. Rarely, though, is it a simple matter of charging one or more of the conferees with specific instructions on how to deal with a bill in pre-conference committee as a condition of his appointment, although that sometimes happens. Mainly, it's a matter of knowing the sentiments of their colleagues on given legislative issues, which allows the presiding officers effectively to control their fate in free conference committees. For instance, if the presiding officer would like to see certain provisions added to or deleted from a bill which has gone to free conference, he will appoint as conferees from his chamber members who he knows harbor similar aspirations. When in doubt whether a bill in which he may have a particular interest will be properly dealt with in free conference committee, the presiding officer can, and often does, appoint himself as a conferee to it. The appointive power vested in House Speaker Fink and Senate President Miller assumes extraordinary implications in this special session because of the extraordinary issues at stake, and because, despite the hundreds of man-hours and intensive committee work that legislators have poured into their deliberations on these eight bills during the past 2 weeks, it's certain that much of what was done then will be undone in free conference committee, where the art of politics reigns supreme. Logic, expert testimony, informed rationale, morality, principle, fairness, all the verities that cause unprincipled politicians to squirm take a backbench to political expedience in the free conference committee. It is, at the same time, the ultimate expression of the hallowed committee system and its antithesis. As of today, only one of the governor's eight bills is in position for free conference committee consideration. It's the measure which requires pipeline owners to purchase oil from offerers under certain conditions. The House passed the governor's version intact, while the Senate made three relatively minor changes. Unless the House agrees to accept the Senate's changes, or if not, the Senate agrees to withdraw its changes, the bill will be sent to free conference committee, where conferees will attempt to resolve the differences in the two versions of the bills by negotiation. The Senate changes in the Common Purchaser Bill may well be adopted by the House or withdrawn by the Senate, since the bill is non-controversial and it may not go to free conference committee. But the obvious conflicts that are now pending over other major legislation between House and Senate versions of the governor's bills guarantee Herculean confrontations in the free conference committee deliberations that will bring this special session of the 8th Alaska Legislature to a dramatic close sometime next week. This is Joe LaRocca with the Alaska Legislative Report in Juneau. Good night.
The Alaska Legislative Report is being made possible each night during the special session by the Alaska Music Company, Cutter Media Magazine, the Fox Roadhouse, Tanana Air Taxi, the Book Bin, and the J.C. Penney Company. Your commentator has been the editor of Cutter Media Magazine, Joe LaRocca. The views expressed on this program are those of Mr. LaRocca and do not necessarily reflect the views of KTVF. Join us each weeknight following Scope News for the Alaska Legislative Report. This is CBS and ABC for Fairbanks, KTVF, TV 11, Fairbanks.
Tonight, on the CBS Late Movie, a powerful story of the underworld.
You give me $500,000 worth of heroin and I'll bring you back $3 million.
David McCallum, Kelly Savalas, Stella Stevens, Saul Madrid.
Aw, my poor leg has dry skin. So I'm bathing with new Calgon bath oil beads, except this leg. The new soft skin formula gives my bath up to 30% more moisturizers. Look, this leg's dry, rough. This leg's soft. A Calgon bath leaves skin feeling soft for hours, and its water softeners leave you so clean. New Calgon bath oil beads turns minutes of bathing into hours of softer skin.
Hopes you never have to know just how soft and absorbent we are. But isn't it nice to know that when you've got a bad cold, Kleenex tissues can handle it. When you've got a cold, you need a friend. Soft, soft Kleenex tissues.
Mom, Billy didn't have dessert.
I'm having a snack.
Dessert.
It says right here, snack.
Dessert.
Is Fruit and Crunch a snack cake that makes a great dessert, or a dessert cake that makes a great snack? To find out, open the package, take out the cake mix, the real fruit filling, and crunchy topping. Mix and bake.
Snack. Dessert.
Snack.
Dessert.
Fruit and Crunch, the snack and dessert cake from Pillsbury.
Dresses better, and his English is better, he's still a killer. Now, the man we're interested in will be coming up on the right-hand side of the screen in a minute. Hold it. Now, that's Harry Mitchell, Villanova's human computer. What Villanova hasn't put down on paper is in Mitchell's head. Numbers, prostitution, extortion, gambling, narcotics, anything the mafia's in. He's missing. We don't know where he is, but neither does the mafia. They'll kill him if they find him. Contracts are open on him all over the world. Okay, Chuck. Now, the blonde with Villanova is Stacy Woodward, born Evelyn Pulaski in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. She's been Villanova's steady girl for 3 years, a record for him. She's missing, too, along with $500,000. As best as we can figure it, she and Mitchell and the money disappeared at the same time.
Together?
No, we don't know. The one we want is Mitchell. If we can find him before the mafia does and convince him to testify, we'd have the best witness since Joe Valachi went before the Kefauver Committee.
Do we have any idea where he is?
No, but we know where the girl is. She's rented a place in Malibu, California. 2 days ago, she took out a passport.
Why don't you get somebody on the coast to handle it?
Because I want an Interpol man, a cop. And you look less like a cop than anyone else in the Bureau. If she'll lead us to Mitchell, I want someone who can convince him that the only chance he has to save his life is to testify.
Anyone in it with me?
No, not unless you want someone.
No. How far can I go to get him?
Alive? As far as you have to. But at least on this assignment, you won't be a junkie.
Run it again.
And outside there is a world of papers to be destroyed. And this is the family. Your uncles, your great uncles, your cousins, your blood, your family. We tell you that the man you trusted with our secrets and money has run away. And the woman you kept has gone with him. In my day, a man like Mitchell would already lie stinking in the sun. Tell us why a man like Mitchell, a Mitchell, can know so much. Every name, every face, every business of everyone in the family. And what your family would not trust to their blood, you trusted to Mitchell. Where is he?
He'll be found.
He'll be found, yes. But the question is whether you will find him.
I told you before. I'll find them both and I will deal with them.
It is up to your family to decide whether you should find them.
No, not for them to decide. And the family looked at their businesses, their real estate, their bank accounts, their stock holdings, and you got them under eye. Mitchell and Stacy are mine. And I will be responsible for them. And I will find them. And I will eliminate them. I'll not ask your permission to do so.
All right. You find them. And you shut their mouths.
Mitchell give you?
$250,000.
Is it all here?
Yes. You're a cop.
Relax.
Don't tell me to relax. What do you call it, barging in there in the middle of the night, scaring me half to death?
Where's Mitchell?
I don't know.
Listen, the next guy that comes in here in the middle of the night won't be a cop. And he won't just wake you up. He'll kill you.
Here.
If I do, I'm taking the $250,000 with me. You can make your next deal with one of Villanova's hoods. Now, where's Mitchell?
What happens if I do tell you?
You can keep the $250,000. And I'll see to it you get a passport and a chance to leave the country.
He's in Mexico.
Where?
Acapulco.
What's he doing in Acapulco?
He went to meet a man named Dietrich.
Why didn't you go with him?
wasn't part of the deal. We just needed each other to get the money. After that, we split up.
Okay, get up and dress.
What for?
We're going to Mexico.
It's the middle of the night.
What's the matter? Aren't these your regular working hours?
Thank you. I'm Captain Ortega of the Federal Judicial Police. I have orders from the Ministry of Justice to extend our fullest cooperation.
Thank you. I'm going to need it. This is Captain Brighton of our department.
The information you requested on Emil Dietrich. We've known for quite some time that Senor Dietrich has been involved with the traffic in narcotics. However, our country like your own cannot do anything without substantial proof.
Have you managed to find out if Mitchell is with him?
We believe he is. Now, if you're Interpol agent, we could compel Senor Mitchell to leave the country.
No, maybe later. Right now, we'll leave things just as they are.
And one more thing, Mr. Madrid. I'm sure you're aware of the activities of one of your agents here in Acapulco, a Senor Jalisco.
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, he's my contact man.
Senor Jalisco has been working in our country so long, he sometimes forgets he's a member of your police force and not ours. We should inform him of what I've just told you.
Of course I shall, Captain. Thank you very much.
Enjoy your stay in Mexico.
Senor Madrid, welcome to Acapulco.
Thank you. I know you don't know me, but...
I know who you are. You and your wife arrived in Acapulco 1 hour ago, correct?
Correct. Except the young lady isn't my wife.
Oh. Well, my congratulations. And my apologies. Tell me, what can I do for you, Mr. Madrid?
I thought I could come and visit your home sometime this afternoon. There's a couple of business matters I'd like to discuss with you.
Business? What kind of business, then?
Well, my wife, as you call her, is an old friend of yours. Stacy Woodward.
Ah, Stacy Woodward. It is a small world, isn't it?
How well it?
Well, my house is always open to old friends. I shall look forward to seeing you both.
In about 2 hours.
2 hours? Splendid. Adios.
Would you like a drink?
Yes.
What do you have?
Vodka and tonic. Well, I'll say one thing for you. The government sure treats you right. If the suckers ever guessed where their taxes were going, they'd start a revolution.
You have to be kidding. You don't think I could afford this place on the allowance they're giving me?
What does that mean?
It means you're paying.
Now, you've got to be kidding.
We might as well live it up a little while we're young.
Well, if I'm paying, you know what that makes you.
We'll return to Sol Madrid, starring David McCallum and Ricardo Montalvo.
To keep a car running in Alaska, you need all the help you can get. Because when the temperature gets down in the sub-zero ranges, even little problems suddenly become big problems, and chances are your car won't run at all. Paul Fison at Paul's Union knows about Alaskan cars and Alaskan driving conditions. And why not? He's been repairing and servicing cars in Alaska for more than 20 years, and he knows all the tricks of the trade necessary to keep your car running reliably and economically, no matter what the weather. Bring your car to Paul's Union for complete winterization and tune-up. If you need tires, a new battery, or any other parts or accessories, Paul can handle the job. Let Paul, at Paul's Union, give your car the help that it needs this winter. That's Paul's Union at 4th and Barnett.
With the best of CBS and ABC, this is KTVF, TV 11, Fairbanks.
A Jabonero lo inmortalizó Silverio Pérez.
No, hombre, que eso fue Tanguito, hermano.
Silverio Pérez. Silverio fue Tanguito, viejo. Taxi, señor. No, hombre, que sabes, no sabes nada de toros tú, man. Silverio Pérez fue Tanguito, viejo.
Dietrich.
What?
He's big, but so far the Mexican government hasn't been able to pin anything on him.
Who is this guy?
His name's Jalisco. Without the connection in the States, there is no place to move the stuff.
Is he a cop too?
Yes, he is.
Great, I love the company I'm in.
Why don't you get out and find better company?
Sure. You can just find somebody to introduce you to Dietrich.
And you can find somebody else to give you a passport.
Maybe I will.
Excuse me, amigo, but now I'm beginning to feel left out.
Consider yourself lucky.
Stacy Woodward, Villanova's friend.
Ex-friend.
Hi.
Hi.
And they say crime doesn't pay. Did the Bureau fill you in? Only that I was to give you all the help I could.
That's a mistake.
That's not the only mistake. It seems that Goldilocks here and a guy named Mitchell... Aquí traigo al señor Madrid.
Un momento.
Your friend is here. Have you no word of greeting for her?
I hadn't expected to see her.
Then your pleasure should be sharper, because it's an unexpected pleasure.
Very unexpected.
This is Mr. Madrid.
Oh, yes, we've met. On the phone.
Have you met
Mr. Mitchell?
I've heard of him.
Please sit down. Mr. Mitchell and I were just having lunch. Have you eaten?
Yes, thank you.
Well, you must have something, coffee, wine. I insist. No one has ever come into my home without sharing my hospitality. Who was it who said, once you break bread with a man, you can never break your word?
I don't know who it was, but I'd like to have had lunch with him.
And how was Dano Villanova when you left? Well?
All right, thank you.
I thought when I first saw you and Dano together that you two had such an idyllic relationship.
Things change.
Women are so unpredictable. I would have sworn that nothing short of the grave could separate you from Dano, yet here you are, flown from the nest, so to speak. To you, Mr. Madrid.
Why not? Don't you find me as lovable as Dano Villanova?
Without even knowing you, I find you more lovable. Dano Villanova is not one of my favorite people.
I can understand that. He's probably cost you over $2 million in lost sales over the past few years.
You know that for a fact, do you?
I know for the past 6 months you haven't moved a quarter's worth of goods north because of him.
True. But I managed to maintain myself comfortably, would you say?
Well, maintenance isn't growth.
But things will change in
time. All they do in time is to grow older and colder. While we're sitting here, Mr. Mitchell's contacts in the United States are drying up. Did you know that Dano Villanova has his people on the phone? Burning up the wires with one simple message.
Anyone who does business with Mitchell is to be killed.
Perhaps.
Wasn't that what you'd do in his place?
You imply that what he's about is a fact. Facts, Mr. Madrid, are one thing, and conjectures are quite another. Don't you agree?
Would you like some facts?
Do you have any?
I have $200,000, which is half the money she and Mitchell stole from
me. I seem to be in the company of very generous people. Mr. Mitchell takes the money from Villanova, gives half of it to Miss Woodward, who in turn gives it all to you, Mr. Madrid. Very generous people indeed. Then I suppose that you'll now take this smallish nest egg in order to begin a life where Dano Villanova can't find you. Isn't that so?
As you say, it's a smallish nest egg. I would be happier nesting on $1.5 million.
Who wouldn't? Have you any ideas how to improve your investment?
Heroin.
Ah!
Could I talk business plainly?
Please?
You give me $500,000 worth of heroin and I'll bring you back $3 million.
That's good. There's a deficiency in your arithmetic. You ask for $500,000. And I just heard you say you only have $200,000.
Well, I expect to be partners.
Partners?
Equal partners.
Equal partners. Well, your arithmetic is still 40. I seem to be contributing more than you and Miss Woodward.
Come now. What does $300,000 worth of heroin cost to a grower like you? I don't know how much you pay your field growers, but I would say your total investment can't be more than $50,000.
I see. Your arithmetic is based on a different plane. Well, you're right. If you can do what you say and deliver it across the border, then very interesting proposition. $500,000 in heroin. 28 kilos. How would you manage to get it across?
That's my problem. You're perfectly welcome to come along and watch me do it, if you're willing to risk 20 years in an American or Mexican prison.
No one is that curious. But I am interested. How would you manage it?
I'm sorry. My method, my neck, my money.
And my heroin.
And your profit. From everything I've heard, you've been on the outside with your nose stuck up against the glass, looking at the buyers across the border. Wishing won't get you across. We'll be at the hotel for the next 24 hours.
Well, that seems reasonable. If I'm interested, I'll let you know. Señorita.
Goodbye.
Hasta la vista, señorita. Francisco. What do you think?
He's a cheap lying hustler.
I've seen hundreds of buyers, pushers, junkies, con hacks. Those I don't know by sight, I know by name. I've never seen or heard of him before.
I wonder, if you knew him, would you admit it?
I thought you trusted me.
Now, why should I trust you? You came to me with money you stole from another man who trusted you.
I've leveled with you, Emil.
Have you? Haven't you omitted certain matters? You told me no one knew you were coming here.
I didn't tell that girl I was coming here. Maybe I mentioned Mexico. I don't know. I certainly never mentioned your name. Why would I endanger you? I'd be endangering myself.
The hustler she with figured it out. Led a trail straight to me. When Villanova find out where they are, he'll send every hood he can find. Let's get rid of them, Emil, before Villanova...
As long as you're in this house, they mean nothing to you. As for Madrid and the girl, well, perhaps Villanova will find them. But his proposition has a very interesting ring.
Emil, do you believe he can move 28 kilos? That's 60 pounds. Do you believe he can move that into the States?
Perhaps not. But who has the most to lose? Madrid, no. And his proposal has a great deal of merit. Promising high returns, low risk.
We'll return to Sol Madrid, starring David McCollum and Stella Stevens.
To me, steak is something mighty special. So I treat it special with A1 steak sauce. I think A1 is the difference between just eating steak and really enjoying every bite. You know, for me, there's only one steak sauce. A1 and steak.
Nothing better together in the whole wide world.
A1 and steak. I like it.
Here comes power. The cleaning power of the Kenmore PowerMate vacuum from Sears. So powerful.